As Christians, it is prudent that we test the spirits to be sure that all teaching is truthful. John wrote this in his book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Brother David Johnson will share in a sermon today the topic, Test the Spirits. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and donate for this radio effort. We thank God that you are listening today, and we pray that you'll be blessed by what you hear. We now worship our Lord with song.
Will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Lord, it is in the precious name of Jesus that we speak to you in prayer. It is also only through Jesus that we can enjoy the gift of salvation that is given to us. Some of our listeners face challenges of health, personal concerns, or even spiritual issues. We seek your help for meeting their needs and blessing them. We continue to hear that believers are being persecuted because of their expressed faith. Please bless them. And when Jesus returns, as you have promised in your word, help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Test the Spirits.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Test the Spirits. And our text is taken from the New Testament, the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Please listen to the Word of God. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Today, all types of media bombard us with philosophies, commentaries, and opinions of men. Certainly, this includes conflicting ideas about God, about the one true God, and about spirituality and truth. For example, the so-called New Age, which really isn't new at all, it's old. The so-called New Age movement and its many ramifications do not agree with one another. However, they do agree about some core beliefs. They all agree that they do not believe Jesus Christ is the one and only way, the only truth, and only worthy life to God. And so do not believe that, as Jesus stated, no one comes to the Father except through me, John chapter 14 and verse 6. That there is instead a myriad of different perspectives about God, about spirituality and truth, many truths. For example, many believe that God is all things and that all things are God, known as pantheism. Many also believe in reincarnation, that by living a good life, one can attain a higher life form. Many believe that everyone is divine, that they don't know it in order to tap into their divine potential. Many believe that truth is relative. There are many truths. That one can determine what is true for oneself by what one believes and act accordingly. Many believe that humankind is part of one great whole of conscious existence. And so whatever affects one affects all. Therefore, all should be tolerant, that is, be acceptive of all beliefs, all truths, all behaviors deemed appropriate by an evolving society, that one must be tolerant of everything except intolerance. An all-encompassing perspective is to think of life as a journey up a high mountain. At the top of this mountain is the ultimate desire. Call it God, call it salvation, or self-realization, or self-actualization, or nirvana, or whatever you want to call it. It's all okay. That many paths lead upward. So what does it matter? Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, or nature worshiper? Or no worshiper at all except worship of self? They teach that what matters is to be sincere and thereby reach the summit of one's mountain. For that reason, no one should claim that only his or her way is right, that all are right, all are equal in parallel journeys upward. Such is the belief of many. Also, that there is no such thing as an absolute truth. All of these type perspectives are eroding the collective understanding of biblical historic Christian truth. False teachers and false teachings in the first century AD were different, but just as deadly. The Apostle John warned to test the spirits because God's truth is absolute, which is just as crucial to know and live by today in the 21st century. Let's look closer at our text and make application to today. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. First, note the command, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Today, Christians should likewise heed this command to closely examine every spiritual teaching, every teaching that purports to be spiritual and godly and of the Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote similarly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 through 22, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Of course, the Bible, the Scriptures, are our test resource from God, from the one true God, Almighty God, in His Word and by His Word. Knowledge and discernment of scriptural commands and principles are critical in testing the spirits behind their messages. Regarding what believers should do, the evangelist Luke wrote, quote, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. And in this context, they, the Bereans, were examining the Old Testament Scriptures to see if what Paul said was true, as he was teaching orally, as the New Testament wasn't written yet. All Scripture is truth and cannot be broken. All believers who have a working knowledge of God's Word of truth and the Spirit of truth must test what they read, see, and hear with what they know to be true by the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Secondly, the reason to test is to see whether they are from God. Already in the early apostolic church and down through the centuries to today, false spirits of false prophets and false teachers have sown their heresies, their fabrications, their falsehoods of all types. A heresy is defined as religious or ideological belief opposed to orthodoxy, which is the holding to the historically biblical tenets of the whole counsel of God, as inspired by the Holy Spirit of God in the Scriptures, all 66 books. The original Greek word translated test is a term used to refer to metallurgists assaying of metals to test their purity and value. Satan, who is behind all spiritual falsity, the father of all liars, not only develops lies that directly deny biblical truth, but is also subtle, often sabotaging the truth by mixing it with error. Christians must closely evaluate all they see, hear, and read, because the devil is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. The Apostle John then gives a prime 1st century AD example, which exposed the godly spirit versus the ungodly spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. This test is what theologians refer to as Christological. What a person teaches about Jesus Christ is extremely, crucially important. A person's understanding and acceptance of Christ's full identity, full personhood, is the ultimate litmus test of the legitimacy of his professed faith. Scripture reveals that Jesus became flesh and blood, so that he could die a substitutionary death as a man, fully man, truly man, for the cumulative sin of mankind. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in his proper time. This was the only way he could redeem all who would believe in him, all of mankind. Already, in the Apostle John's day, there were false teachings regarding Jesus Christ. Some claimed Jesus was a phantom or a ghostly spirit who only appeared to be human. A false teacher named Cerinthus stated that the Spirit of God's Christ empowered the human Jesus at his baptism, but left him at his crucifixion. Basically, his followers denied the genuine reality of the incarnation made flesh as the truths of the deity and humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is truly, fully human and truly, fully divine simultaneously. Well, how can this be possible? Nothing is impossible for God, that is according to his will, and that does not deny himself. These false teachers believe that Jesus, being God, which is true, could not have actually become a flesh and blood human being because God could have no partnership with impure material flesh. The opposite is claimed widely today, that Jesus was flesh and blood, just a man, a mere man, but certainly not eternally God. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and Muslims, for example, in the religious category, deny the eternal equal divinity of Jesus Christ in the Godhead or Trinity. We should understand that both the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ are essential to our salvation. If Jesus, the man from Nazareth, where he was raised, were not our divine Lord, his sacrifice on the cross would have limited importance. Men die for other men all the time, but Jesus as God makes his one life infinitely acceptable as the once-for-all sin sacrifice, atoning sacrifice, to appease an offended God. Jesus, as man, flesh and blood, thereby could become mankind's substitute to atone for our sin. His one life given, his body and blood given on the cross, is sufficient for the entire human race to atone for our sin, the cumulative sin of mankind, effectual only to those who receive him by faith. Moreover, if Jesus were not divine, we would have little confidence that God the Father had been revealed to us in Christ. Even our humanity, our ethics are important because God has deemed our humanity important through his one and only Son becoming human. The spirit of the Antichrist means against Christ. Anti, against Christ. Satan is always actively seeking to distort Jesus Christ's true nature and personhood, and to pervert the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to distort the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most Westerners used to agree about truth in moral, spiritual, and even basic scientific areas. Today, our society argues over whether objective truth can even be known at all. Chuck Colson, founder of the Prison Fellowship Ministry and Christian writer, author, has stated that, quote, "The confusion over truth is the fundamental crisis of our times. What good does it do to tell people that the Bible says if 2/3 of our listeners don't believe the Bible is true? What good does it do for us to say that Jesus is the truth if 2/3 of the American people believe there is no such thing as absolute truth? This is not to deny that the Word of God has the power to convince even the hardest heart. But if Christians are to be heard by the modern mind and to make effective inroads into our culture, we must first develop what theologian Francis Schaeffer called a cultural apologetic, or defense. A cultural defense. We must defend the very concept of truth itself. End quote. Very true words concerning our society today, particularly in North America and in Western Europe. Do you remember the exchange between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, which is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 37 and following? Jesus stated in part, quote, "For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me," end quote. Jesus set truth, He is truth, as the dividing standard for right and wrong. Pilate's response, what is truth? Like skeptics of all ages, including those today, Pontius Pilate despaired of finding absolute truth. This is, in a nutshell, the tragedy of fallen man's rejection of the one true God of Scripture and of absolute truth of Scripture. Without God, there cannot be any absolutes. Nothing is objective, nor a universal normative truth. Instead, truth becomes subjective, relative, pragmatic, just merely personal or cultural preferences. This is graphically illustrated in, for example, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2 and verse 13, which says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns that cannot hold water." Meaning that without the living God, there are just dry holes. Yes, God sovereignly chooses to give every accountable human being a choice to either receive or reject truth incarnate, Jesus Christ. Believing, obedient Christians testify truth in Scripture. As Jesus stated, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," John 14, 6, once again. Christians testify. The Holy Spirit of truth convicts and convinces. Jesus also said, quote, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. And Jesus, the truth, will set you free from the power of sin in your life.
Are you sure that you are following the true Bible teachings? We pray that you are a Christian following faithfully the way of Jesus. If you have questions about today's sermon, or if you have questions about what it is to be a Christian, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for broadcast 2418. That's 2418. Please write to us today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.